So we're in a series, Conversations with God. We're talking about prayer for a few weeks. And I've titled the message today, Arm for Victorious Prayer. We're going to look at Ephesians. If you'd open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, welcome to use your Bible app, or you can look in the pews. There's Bibles there too. Ephesians 6, particularly verses 10 through 20. As you're finding that, I want to share something with you from the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, Joshua is being instilled as a new leader for Israel. Moses has died, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. It's a great place. It's a place that's full of delicious fruit, and the Bible says, you know, land of milk and honey, and it's a wondrous blessing from God. And they're getting ready to go, and Joshua is the leader. And several times in chapter 1, God says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. Because there's battles there. There's battles that lay ahead. There's people who are giants. There's great cities. There's things that they have to overcome. And so God tells them, listen, Joshua, as you lead your 3 million or so people, I want you to be bold and courageous. Do not fear. And even the people toward the end of chapter 1 there, the people say, hey, we're going to follow you. Joshua, you're the guy. God has chosen you. You're up to bat. We believe in you, but be strong. Be very strong and courageous, and we will follow. Why do we need to hear that this morning? Well, we face a lot of battles ourselves, and we need to be strong and courageous. And we're going to see how that plays out here in Ephesians chapter 6, what God has provided for us to be strong and courageous in prayer. So a couple reasons I want to address this. One, I think that a lot of people don't recognize that we do live in a war. There is a spiritual war going on today, and we see it play out in the culture. I think sometimes in Christianity, some of us think that we're, I don't know, at a kind of a pinata party or something, and we just kind of swing the truth like a bat, and, you know, we hit people with it, and we're like, well, as long as it's the truth I'm swinging, you know, who cares if it breaks them open? You know, I mean, we kind of, sometimes we act in a carnal way or a harsh way and not the way of Jesus. On the other side of that, there are some of us sometimes who I would say are like pajama Christianity, where we think that we live in a sleepover, you know? Like, we're just here for a little while, and I mean, who cares? I mean, just, I want to be comfortable and have a good time and talk about my feelings and play video games. You know, we treat it like this is all about us and being entertained and having fun. But the reality is we live in a battle. The Bible says that there is a spiritual war going on and that there's a way, a right way to live in this world, a right way to do battle. Part of that's knowing the enemy. You know, we misidentify the enemy sometimes as people. You know, we think about a spouse or a coworker or even a parent or a child or a neighbor or whomever, and we think that's the enemy. That is not the enemy. Amen. You know, the Word of God says our enemy, it's spiritual entities of evil that we're battling against. And so we need to fight against the right enemy, and we need to fight God's way, not in carnal, fleshly ways of our own thinking. So as we look at the text here today, I want us to see three qualities that God gives us that characterize victorious battle or victorious prayer. Starting in verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. So I want to pause there and talk for a minute about our enemy, the devil. The devil's schemes are serious. The devil is real. He is not some mythological character. He is a real enemy. He is a powerful enemy. And his schemes are very serious. Sometimes I think I take him too lightly. You know, you guys watch America's Got Talent? You ever? I do because Kim loves it. I don't know that I would. And sometimes I'm really glad I watch it, and sometimes I'm not. I got to kind of tune it out. But
he just threw me under the bus.
I'm sorry. She watches it because she's got more taste than I do. I got no taste at all. I watch sci-fi movies with robots and aliens, and she's got better taste. There's a magician. That's not a really good word. I'd say illusionist or sleight of hand artist. Shin Lim, have you seen him? Anybody seen him? He's extraordinary. I've never seen an illusionist like close up, see what I'm doing, cameras, you know, guy. It's stunning like what this guy can do. And he actually, one of the special things about him, He won America's Got Talent twice. He won once in the regular season. Then they had the champions where they invited all these like great, you know, past acts. And he won that too. He's really amazing. One of the cool things about him that I like, one, he's honest. He says, I'm not doing magic. He said, I'm an expert at illusion. He said, I'm a skilled, you know, person at illusion. So he's not trying to like lie or deceive, which I appreciate, but he's very humble too. Like he talks about his fiance, I think wife now, they got married, and just said, you know, I would have never had the courage to go on that show. He said, I don't think I'm that great, you know, but she believed in me. And so he's very humble, and I appreciate him. But I've watched his tricks. You know, you can look him up on YouTube, and people around the world watch this guy, and it's staggering. I'm like, how is it possible what he's doing? And I think, you know, if I can't figure out the schemes of this, you know, 30-year-old guy, I think I can stand on my own against the schemes of the enemy, who's had thousands of years of practice, you know, who's a very powerful spiritual entity. Satan's dangerous. I mean, the devil, he is a dangerous enemy. And so we need to hear what God has to say about those schemes and be prepared every day to fight that battle. I mean, the reality is, and I love this term in Scripture whenever I see this, you know, but God. You know, apart from God, we would fall every day for the schemes of the enemy. Apart from God. God giving us wisdom and discernment in His Word and guiding us by His Spirit, giving us that access to prayer. Human ability, human reason is meaningless in opposing the devil. One of his schemes that we fall for a lot, and a lot of the culture has fallen for this, is thinking he's not real, or that we take him lightly. We need to not do that. We need to take him seriously. You know, the Bible wouldn't talk about the battle against him unless it was something we needed to know. But one of the schemes that we fall for, even as believers, is we think the enemy is that person who's being unkind. The enemy is that person who's speaking lies. The enemy is that person who is full of venom and what they're saying. That's not the enemy. They may be an instrument of the enemy. Maybe Satan is using them, but the enemy, according to the Word of God, is the devil himself and the demonic entities that align with him. So we need to make sure we're not deceived. Don't let Satan trick you. If you believe the enemy is other people, you're already deceived. It's not other people. It's not people from another country because they have a different nationality. It's not people from even a different religion. It's not people from a different political party. That's not the enemy. The enemy is the devil and his demons. We need to recognize that. Verse 12 says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. You guys ever had conflict in your marriage? Marriage folks? Ever felt like maybe your spouse, maybe if they're not the enemy, they're your opponent anyway, right? It's a lie from hell. Do not believe that. They are not your opponent. They're not the enemy. You know, maybe that relationship with a parent or with a child who's really stressing you out, they are not the enemy. There are evil spiritual forces aligned against you. First thing that we need to understand, first characteristic of victorious prayer, point number one, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We need to fight in God's strength, not in our strength. Okay, we need to use the armor and the strength that God provides, because we're in a struggle, we're in a battle against the devil and his schemes. And as I thought about this, I wrote down a few of the schemes of the enemy. He's scheming to tempt you to impure thoughts. He's scheming to tempt you to make immoral choices. He's scheming to deceive you, have you believe lies about yourself as a child of God, to have you believe lies about other people, to have you believe lies about God. He is scheming to deceive you. He's scheming to make you bitter. He's scheming to make you unforgiving toward other people. He's scheming for you to use your strength in fighting against him and your wisdom instead of God's. He's scheming, I think maybe foremost, to try to keep you from witnessing for Jesus. There was a little boy who, one day, there was a big heavy rock, and his dad said, "Son, I want you to pick up that stone." And the boy bent down and he grabbed a hold of that and he said, "I can't do it, Dad. That's too heavy." And the dad said, "Son, you can do it. Pick up that stone." And the son bent over and he's trying to lift it up and he said, "Dad, it's way too heavy. I can't even move it." And his dad insisted. He said, "Son, I know you can do it. I know you can move that stone." So the boy grabbed it and he tried to move it again. And he's like, "Dad, I'm using all my strength. I can't do it." And the dad said, "Son, I know that you can do it because you're not using all of your strength." And the boy said, "Dad, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm doing everything I can." And he said, "Son, you're not using all your strength because you haven't asked me to help you." You know, we need to remember that in our battle against the enemy every day of our lives, that God is there in his strength to fight the battle. Our strength is not going to do it. We need God's strength to do it. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. We need to access that strength of God if we're going to have victory. So how do you access God's strength? What do you think? Anybody? Michael?
Ask for it.
Ask for it. Amen. Have not because you ask not. You ask for it. You pray. You just have a conversation with God. "God, I am weak. I am not equipped for what I'm facing here. You are strong. Glorify yourself, God. Show that strength in my weakness." Yep. How else, though? Part of it is our choices. God has provided protection that we call the armor of God that has to do with our lifestyle and our choices that we make. And when we have that armor, when we live in the way that God wants us to live, and it's an outworking of the new creation. You know, if you've trusted in Jesus, the Bible says that you are born again, you are a new creation, and it's walking out that new creation life. That's what the armor of God is, and there's protection that comes when we live that way. Point number two, stand firm in godly living. Stand firm in godly living. Verse 14, "Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This is armor which God provides for us. Now, I think about the Apostle Paul when he's writing this. He's under house arrest, most likely, and there are Roman soldiers around keeping watch, and he's probably looking over at a Roman soldier. He sees that equipment, the way that they're dressed, and he uses that for this illustration talking about God's provision for us for godly living. Let's take a closer look here at the armor of God. First, the belt of truth buckled around your waist. You know, the Bible says that Satan blinds the world so they cannot see the beauty and the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That they do not see the glory of God. Satan wants to deceive. He wants to use lies. And so we have to have truth wrapped tightly around us every day. The Word of God. The truth of the Word of God and the gospel. Secondly, the breastplate of righteousness in place. Now, this is not you choosing to do the right thing all the time. This is the righteousness of Jesus. This is imputed righteousness. It's his righteousness that's been granted to us. The Bible says our righteousness isn't worth anything. But this is the righteousness, the positional righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 30, God's word says, "It's because of him, because of God, that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us the wisdom of God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Third, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. We are commanded in the Word of God to be ready to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We need to be ready all the time to share that gospel message of peace with God. Fourth, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish the flaming arrows of the evil one. I think this is that large shield that covered the whole body of a Roman soldier. This protects us from every attack of the enemy, our faith in God. When the enemy attacks, you need to put your trust in the Lord. Fifth, take the helmet of salvation. You know, one of the things that I go back to again and again, when I know that I'm under attack and I know I'm insufficient, I go back to the cross of Jesus. You know, in my thinking and in my prayer life, and I say, God, I know that from that ultimate battle that would have awaited me, that I couldn't win, when I was going to come before you and have to answer for my life and for my sins, Jesus has already won that for me. That ultimate battle, that future judgment that was going to happen, we already have the victory in Jesus Christ. And so every day, that helmet of salvation, it helps me to live confidently. You know, the Bible says that there is nothing that anybody can do to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We stand in a sure and certain salvation. So we have that helmet of salvation when the enemy tries to cloud our thoughts with other things, to know that he can throw anything he wants. He can't take away my relationship with God through Jesus Christ, no matter what. It's been freely given to me, and nobody can take it. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This is our offensive weapon that's given by the Holy Spirit. When we rightly understand Scripture and live it and choose it and believe it, when we do that, when we live out the Word of God, it turns back evil. When the enemy comes and he's got a temptation that's pretty strong, maybe one you've fallen for before, you go to God with the Word of God. You stand on His promises. You remind Satan what the Word of God says. And it turns back that temptation. The Bible says that the Word of God can even destroy strongholds, not only in your life, in other people's lives. That you can, if you see somebody who's in darkness, that you can share Scripture with them, and God can use the light of Scripture to rescue them, to deliver them out of that darkness. Prayer is connected to the armor of God. But we don't pray the armor of God onto ourselves. It has to do with, I mean, we incorporate prayer with the armor of God, but it has to do with daily choices. It has to do with the lifestyle that we live, and it provides protection against temptation from the world and the devil and the flesh. And I think of it this way. You know, the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous person avail much. Anybody else get around by car? Most of you, I hope. It's not a horse and buggy crowd today. You know, I've got a vehicle. I've got an old Papaw truck that God gave me that I like way too much. You know, if I do, I'm not letting go of it unless God pries it out of my hands. Just pray for me. I love that old rusty farm truck. But anyway, you know, if I want to go somewhere and I'm hanging out in the living room with Kim and the truck's out in the driveway, I've got the power I need to go where I want to go, right? But I'm not in a position to use it if I'm hanging out on the couch with Kim. I've got to be out in the driveway with my truck, right, to get anywhere. The armor of God, living out that new creation life and walking in God's ways, positions us to get somewhere in our prayer life. You know, if you're not walking the walk that God has given you to walk, if you're wayward, I mean, He's got to deal with that. But if we're walking out a godly life, it puts us in a position to get where God wants us to go, to stay out of the ditch, right? So that we know the will of God and we pray the will of God. Verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert. Always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak words that would be given me, that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should, Paul said. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Looking at those verses, praying in the Spirit, it involves perseverance. Keep on praying. Do not give up. Keep on going to God. Even if it's not happening in your timing, believe God for his will and keep praying for it. It also involves guidance by the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes in my circumstances, and it's understandable, and there is grace. I mean, I believe God is so gracious as a father. I can come with him with stupid requests, and I do. But he's so gracious, and he loves me so much that he'll say, no. Love you, no. Sometimes it's even a good prayer. You know, it's like, God, there's this darkness. There's this thing in my life, and I just want it to be light. I just want to see your glory in it. And we pray that way, but his will is, I want you to shine in the darkness. I don't want the darkness to go away. I want to make you brighter so that other people who are in that darkness will call out to me too. They'll see that, and they'll have hope in Jesus. And that's what God wants. He wants us to pray in the Spirit. He wants us to pray for what God wants. And again, he's gracious. Don't hesitate to bring anything to God. He's so good to us. He invites us to do that. Bring anything to him in prayer. But he wants us to be mindful that we're not just praying for what we want. We're praying for what God wants in our life. Praying in the Spirit entails being alert. We need to be watchful of what's going on around us. Have discernment. It's easy to lose focus. It's easy to focus on the things of this world. Praying in the Spirit involves not just praying for ourselves, but praying for all the Lord's people. We need to be interceding for others. Chains fall when we intercede for other people. Sight comes to people who are spiritually blind when we pray for others. We need to be interceding. Pray for all God's people. Praying in the Spirit means we pray that the gospel will be proclaimed with boldness and with courage, that sinners will repent and be saved. And I think maybe just a good synopsis, praying in the Spirit means that you are in submission to the Holy Spirit. It means you're surrendered to the Holy Spirit with your thoughts and emotions and words and attitudes and actions, that you're just bringing yourself before him. That Romans living sacrifice command, that you're putting yourself on the altar in the morning before God and you're saying, okay, God, I'm going to be honest with you. You know my thoughts and desires here, but Lord, you have your way. I want God to have what God wants today. That's praying in the Spirit. I'll tell you one of the places I really see this fleshed out is in marriage. You know, there's plenty of times where, as a husband, I've had a disagreement with Kim. She's a wonderful, godly woman, but I've disagreed with her. And I've had my couple little scriptures that I took out of context to wield against her, you know, as my dagger, so I could be right. And the Holy Spirit convicting me and saying, that's what James wants, but that's not what God wants. We need to be very mindful to let the Holy Spirit lead our prayers. He wants us to build each other up in the faith. He wants us to pray for people in our community. He wants us to believe him for great things. But we need to be mindful of the Holy Spirit. We need to let him guide those prayers. And Satan wants to do everything he can do to mess that up, to distract you, to get you to doubt the word of God, to get you to think about yourself and your insufficiencies. God knows all your mess. He's bigger than that. We pray boldly because of who he is. But our choices do make a difference. Our godly living makes a difference. In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Word of God says that sometimes for husbands, God doesn't hear our prayers because we're not treating our wives the way God wants us to. And it's true for wives too. But we need to be living out the good and godly, Christ-like, loving, grace-filled life that God wants us to live so our prayers won't be hindered. God is inviting us to victorious prayer. He wants us to have victory in our life. And he's given us what we need to have that victory. that fellowship that we have with Him, the truth that we have in the Word of God, that power that we have in the Holy Spirit. So we need to live the battle in His strength, not our strength. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you don't tell us to fight for a victory, but to stand in victory. That we fight from a victory that Jesus has already won for us. And that you invite us to be strong and courageous and to pray boldly. God, we thank you that our strength is you. That even when we feel faithless, you are faithful. When we feel weak, you are strong. When we feel like a fool, you are full of wisdom. God, you are awesome, and you have given us your promises to stand upon. God, help us every day to anticipate victory, to live boldly and courageously, God, to enjoy that fellowship and that strength that we have in Jesus Christ. God, your word says that in a warped and crooked generation, you would have us shine like stars as we hold firmly to the word of life. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for the Bible. God, help us to walk in that protection, that armor of God, righteous living, walking out that righteousness Jesus has purchased for us on the cross. God, help us to pray for what you want. You want all men drawn to Jesus. You want people saved. You want strongholds of the enemy torn down. You want people walking in freedom. You want people to take you up on that offer of salvation. So God, we pray for that. Help us to pray boldly at the throne of grace today, God. We pray with confidence. Your word says that you love the world in this way, that you sent your only Son to go to that cross, that whoever would believe in him could have eternal life and not perish. So God, we pray for that today. We pray in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would do what only you can do, that you would bring salvation to people that you have drawn here today. God, I know that in this sanctuary and online, there are people who have not accepted the truth that you have accepted them. That you are a God full of mercy and compassion. Your word says that you died to save us. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, God, we believe that today. God, we pray for anybody who came in feeling far from you right now, God, that you would draw their heart, Father, close to your heart. That they would believe the truth of your word, that you are a God who loves them and died to save them. Help them to believe that right now. God, give them the faith to turn away from sin, to turn towards the Savior and receive what you freely give. New life in Jesus Christ, a brand new beginning. Bring them into the family, we pray. God, for those who are already your children, God, help us to walk in your power today, to walk in your strength, to live a Christ-like life, and to boldly share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Glorify yourself, Lord, at our expense today. In Jesus' name, amen.